Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. I'll give you a moment to find it in your Bibles. There's one in front of you if you want as well, or there will be the ESV version on the screen too. So I'll give you a moment for that. So again, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. I'll be reading from the ESV, which should be the same as the one up there. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word, your truth here in this Bible, Lord, that we are able to read it and to take something from it each and every day that we decide to read through it. I pray for your message spoken through Pastor Paul today, and I pray that we not only hear it and just forget about it, Lord. I pray that we hear it, understand it, but also be able to find application and apply it to our daily lives so that we can be a great witness and testimony for you, Lord, to those around us that do not know you. At this time, Lord, we also want to pray for our church transition. I pray for wisdom for our leaders, and like we just sung in Jesus, Lover of My Soul, Lord, may we remember everything is just for you. It's all for you, for your glory and your fame, and it's never about ourselves. We pray also for now, children in our midst, Lord. Children up here right now, downstairs, that will be downstairs. I pray for all of them that you will bless their leaders and their teachers. Bless them for their patience. And as they speak love and truth into these kids' lives, may they just overflow with joy as well to their friends and everyone around them. We also pray for individuals in our prayer booklets, Lord. May you speak truth into them as well every day. May you guide them through their lives in the ways that they need you, Lord. And we also pray for Pastor Paul as he continues to prepare for our Easter sermon, his Easter sermon and our Easter service, Lord. It's going to be a great time of celebrating what you've done, and to celebrate those that are getting baptized and transferring membership to, Lord. Pray that you be with them, and be with Felicia as well, as she's injured herself and she is hoping for a speedy recovery, Lord. In your will, Lord, just do as you need to do. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've given us here. I pray that we'll receive it all today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, and as I said earlier, we do have a great service ready for you guys. And you know what? It's only going to get just getting started. This week's sermon is by Pastor Paul, and it is titled Attitude Towards Prayer. As you can tell, it is about prayer, but more specifically, our attitude towards it, as well as what should be in the contents of our prayer. So hope that you will open your ears and your hearts to hear what the Word has to say, Lord, and maybe what you need to hear today. Pastor Paul.
Thank you, Rosie. Good morning, church. At this time, let us worship the Lord by listening to His Word. It's good to have this opportunity to study the Word of God together. Now, let me ask you this question. Most of you were either born here or, you know, you were brought here when your parents immigrated to Canada. Do you like living in Canada? Now, if you have a choice to choose which city you want to live in, which one would you choose? Now, your parents brought you to Vancouver. It seems like you have no choice, right? But if you have got a choice, maybe for Justin, it's Regina, right? I think we are all very blessed to be able to live in this beautiful city of Vancouver. Especially when we look at the weather in Canada this year. I wonder, you know, how many times you really give thanks to God for planting you here in Vancouver. When you look at, you know, the snowstorms one after another on the East Coast, in Canada or in the United States, right? And a lot of properties were damaged and even lives were lost. You like doing that? No, eh? Yeah, and you don't really want to do that. And you like to climb up to this snow mountain? Not really, right? Yeah, but this is what the East Coast people are looking at, even today, right? Now, winter is gone and spring is here. The people on the East Coast are facing another threat. You know what threat is that? Flooding, right? You know, when you have that much snow everywhere, when the weather gets warmer, the snow will melt, and where would the water flow? Well, it flows everywhere, right? But when there are huge blocks of ice blocking the river and all that, the water just doesn't flow very smoothly. And in time, there may be flooding, and actually is happening. And so we are really blessed to have this wonderful city called Vancouver to live in. Now, let's just pray that come this winter, there will be no snowstorms, right? Yeah, but it does happen, right? I remember in 1996, there was a big snowstorm in Vancouver area, and even in Victoria. Now, anyway, talking about flooding, now, there is this house which is almost flooded, submerged. And the owner of the house, he climbed up to the rooftop, right? And he cried out to God for help. He said, "Lord, help me." So after a while, somebody came by with a dinghy or a rowboat, right? And the guy said, "Well, come on in. Come on board." And but the guy said, "No, I just prayed to God. God would, you know, rescue me." And then after a while, there's this helicopter hovering over the house. And the pilot said, "Hey, you know, here's the rope ladder. Grab hold of it, climb up." And then the guy said, "No, thanks. And I pray to God, and God will rescue me." And then the helicopter flew away, right? And consequently, the house was flooded. It was submerged. And the owner of the house, he died. He was drowned. And so he went up to heaven and he stood in front of God and he asked God. He questioned God. He said, "God, you know, how come you didn't rescue me?" And you know what God said to him? God said, "Well, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, I sent a boat and you don't want to get on board. I sent a helicopter. You don't want to climb in. What else do you want me to do?" Now, it may be just a joke, but this joke illustrates a truth. And that is, God, our Father in heaven, is glad to hear every single one of our prayers. But according to His will, according to His plan, not according to ours, the way we want it. The question is, do we pray to God? Or we pray only in times of emergency? When there's a crisis, then we cry out to God, "God, help me." Now, as we continue to study the letter to the Colossians, we recognize that when Paul starts to write this letter, he starts with a prayer for the Colossian Christians. He prayed to God that they will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And then they will understand God's will through all wisdom and understanding, so that they may be able to live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing God in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, and ultimately growing in deeper knowledge of God. Now, this is how Paul starts the letter to the Colossians. And as we come to the last chapter of the letter of the book of Colossians, we read about God's teaching through Paul about prayer. But this time, it's about the attitudes towards prayer. Now, when Paul begins the letter with prayer, and you know, is about to end the letter with prayer, it really tells us something, doesn't it? It tells us that Paul pays very much attention to prayer, the importance of prayer. You know, no doubt, if we can have a healthy, vibrant prayer life, our spiritual life will naturally be strong and healthy. Now, all of us Christians know that it is important to pray, but a lot of times we neglect prayers, right? And we do a very poor job praying. Now, there is a saying that goes like this. Can you see at the back? Is it big enough at the back? Can you see it? Yeah. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. It's not, you know, the weak that we know, but weak, you know, the opposite of strong, right? Sure, when we don't pray, our spiritual life will become weaker and weaker. If we truly want to have our new life in Christ be changed inside out, we cannot neglect prayer. And so, throughout his writing, in almost every letter to the New Testament Christians, Paul often reminds them about the importance of prayer. And this morning's passage is an example. And so please turn once again to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Rosie read in the ESV, the English Standard Version, and my version is the NIV, but it's the same. Now here in verse 2, Paul says to the Colossian Christians, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, the verb devote in Greek means persevere in, to be persistent. Persevere and to be persistent. Now, we all remember this parable told by Jesus in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, the parable of the persistent widow. Jesus tells us this parable to encourage us not to give up, but to pray always. Now, in the parable, this ungodly judge, you know, he doesn't really pay attention to anybody. He just, you know, don't really think that anybody matters except himself. And yet, in the parable, the widow just comes time and again, persevering in prayer. She is so persistent in asking the judge to help her. And at the end, the judge just couldn't refuse. And so he offered help to the widow. Now, Jesus says, we should always pray and do not give up. Now, when we devote ourselves to prayer, when we pray steadfastly, it doesn't mean that we just be repetitious in our prayer. We offer up endless repetitions to God, and in the end, God will, you know, listen to us. It's not like that. You know, pray continually, pray steadfastly doesn't mean either to have endless prayer meetings. You know, we pray without end. You know, we start our prayer meeting and there is no end in sight. It's not like that. You know, devote ourselves to prayer or pray consistently and in a persevering manner means we bring our needs to God in a regular manner, in a way that, you know, we don't really pester God, we don't badger God, but we really trust that God is caring, He is loving, He is concerned about our needs. And we believe that ultimately He will answer our prayers. Not necessarily according to the way we expect. But in the best way that God knows is good for us. You know, God sometimes may delay in answering our prayers. You know, we may want it right now, but God says, you know, maybe this is not the right time. Now, there's always a reason why God doesn't answer our prayers right away. And so we just have to learn to trust that God always has our best interest in mind. And also let us remember, when we pray to God, it doesn't mean that we've got this right, this privilege to command God, this privilege, this right to tell God to do what we want. Prayer is only a tool, a channel by which we express our dependence on God. We tell God that you are our God and we trust in you. And prayer is also the means through which God changes us. You know, don't ever think for a minute that we can change God. You can't, because God is God. We are not. So God changes us through prayer. So prayer really disciplines us, trains us, and helps us become better followers of Jesus Christ. And to pray consistently, to pray persistently, to pray perseveringly is really our unshakable, unavoidable, inescapable responsibility. And it's so true, especially when it comes to praying for members in our family who are not Christians yet. Now, I'm going to tell you a true story. Now, there's a mother who's got three children. The younger son and the younger daughter are believers already. But the oldest, the son, is not yet. The son is very smart, super talented, and he excels in his studies. When he is in his teens, unfortunately, he lives a very undisciplined life. He cohabits with a woman, and together they have a son, an illegitimate son, a son out of wedlock. Now, everything that he does, his lifestyle, really saddens his mother. His mother cries for him every day. And she is so concerned about his spiritual condition. But one thing the mother never gives up. She always prays for her son. And she even goes on fasting for her son. And as time flies, you know, in the twinkling of an eye, as the saying goes, 17 years pass by. And one day, the son, when he was 29 years old, he went to Rome to work, and there he got a chance to listen to a very famous preacher. And so as he listened to the sermon, and he began to open up, and he even started studying the New Testament. And after a while, he sensed that he should really believe in Jesus Christ. But his spirit is willing, but his body is weak. His flesh is weak. And so he struggled. And one day, as he continued to struggle, he came across this Bible verse, Romans chapter 13, verse 14, which the Apostle Paul says, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Ah, this verse really struck him. And so that became the turning point of his life. And on that day, he surrendered himself. He handed over his life to God, to Jesus Christ. And he even told his mother that his struggle in life was over. And of course, imagine when the mother received such great news, right? Yeah, the mother was overjoyed. Finally, her prayer for her son was answered. Now, who is this mother? She is Monica. And who is this son? You have all heard about him. Augustine. Now, Augustine is the greatest theologian in Christianity. His theology helps to lay the foundation of our belief today. We all believe in the Trinity, right? Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We all believe in free will. We all believe in original sin. We all believe in grace, etc., etc. It's the work of this great theologian. Now think about it. If his mother Monica gave up, lost hope, was, you know, hopeless, and refused to remain consistent, steadfast in her prayer for her son, Christianity would not have had this wonderful, great theologian. And we may not have been able to enjoy the theology, the belief that we know today. Yeah, you know, we all need to remain steadfast and persistent in our prayer, especially when it comes to praying for our non-Christian family members. Now, besides devoting ourselves to prayer, Paul also encourages us to pray in a watchful way. Watchful in the original meaning means do not fall asleep. That's what it means. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus Christ was praying, that's exactly what he told his three closest disciples, John, Peter, and James, right? He said to three of them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And when Jesus Christ was facing the most important moment of his life, the most difficult moment of his life, he asked the three closest disciples to stay watchful with him. Do not fall asleep. And yet, every time when Jesus Christ came back after praying, the three disciples were sleeping. How disappointing. How discouraging. Now, Jesus Christ said to them, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Now, all of us should really be persistent in our prayer. And all of us should be watchful in our prayer. These two, being persistent, being watchful, cannot be separated. You know, prayer is, you may say, our spiritual weapon of defense. This is the most effective way in defending ourselves against attacks from our enemy. You know, Satan's best offense is to make us discouraged, to make us lose hope, to make us not want to pray. And if we're not persistent, if we are not watchful, we will fall into that kind of attack of Satan. Now, there's this Christian. He had a dream. In his dream, he was led by the angels to visit different churches. And the angel took him to one church. And on the rooftop, this Christian saw a group of, demons, you know, the minions of Satan, working very hard, sweating all the time. And then this Christian took a look inside, and he saw inside a group of Christians kneeling down, praying earnestly and fervently. And then the angel took this Christian to another church. On the rooftop, he saw another group of demons. But this time, those demons not really working hard. They are just idling. And the Christian took a look inside the church. And inside, just, you know, few Christians, they were not really praying. And at times, they were, you know, just shooting the breeze, chit-chatting. Now, I wonder. Now, it's just a dream. I wonder, what would the demons or the followers of Satan doing on our rooftop, on the church rooftop at this moment, or throughout the week, or 24/7? What would they be doing? Would they be working very hard because we are praying earnestly and fervently? Or would they be just idling because nobody is praying here in church? And so, you know, we should not really fall asleep when it comes to praying. We should be watchful. You know, when we fail to be watchful, we fail to be watchful when everything is hunky-dory, when everything is so good, we're having it very good. And it's just what happened to King David, right? So when his country was really quite peaceful and he need not lead his army to the front to fight, and he just suddenly become so relaxed and he just let his guard down. And the Bible said one day, you know, he woke up in the evening or, you know, before sunset. Now, who would sleep for that long? You know, if you sleep till sunset, your parents would be very angry with you, right? But King David did that. Yeah, he woke up at sunset and he went up to the rooftop of his palace and he walked around. And the consequence is, we all know that. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and he committed murder as a result of that. And yeah, we would become so relaxed and let our guards down when things tend to be very good. And so we need to pay attention to what the Apostle Peter tells us. And let us read it together, all right? Be alert and of sober mind. With enemy, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Yeah, let us be alert and of sober mind. Let us stay watchful, all right? And not only that, we should really devote ourselves to praying. We should really be watchful in our prayers. And we should also give thanks in our prayer. That's what the Apostle Paul says in this passage this morning, right? Being watchful and thankful. Now, there is a saying that goes like this. A thankful heart is not only a great virtue, but the parent of all other virtues. Now, giving thanks is a very important element in prayer. And no prayer should be void of thanksgiving. Now, in my opinion, giving thanks is really that time, that moment, when I truly communicate with God, my Father in heaven. How's that? Oh, you may say, well, you know, when I make requests, when I, you know, intercede, when I supplicate for myself and all that, am I not communicating with God? Yes. But a lot of times, that kind of prayer is just one-sided, one way. But when I give thanks to God, I always think about what God has done for me. Not only in one particular thing, but 24/7. What has God done for me? When I think about that, then I truly begin to have a two-way conversation with God. And there is this famous classical hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. One day, she needed $5. Now, in those days, in the 19th century, $5 was a lot of money, right? She needed $5 to do something, and she didn't have it. And so she prayed to God about that need. And then afterwards, she walked around in her room. Now, she's a classical hymn writer. She thought about, you know, oh, what song I should write. And then there was this visitor who came to her home, and they visited for a short while. And when the visitor was leaving, they shook hands, and the visitor, you know what, stuffed a $5 note in her hand. Now, it's amazing, eh? Now, God sent that visitor, you know, after she prayed to God and stuffed her with a $5 note. And at that moment, Fanny Crosby was so thankful to God for meeting her needs. And at that moment, she got that inspiration to write this song, this classical hymn called All the Way My Savior Leads Me. I don't know if you have sung it, now, because nowadays, you know, we all sing new contemporary songs of worship. But the older ones, maybe Fritz, have you ever sung this before? You have, eh? Good for you. Now, I'm going to sing it for you. All right? Bear with me. All right? I'm going to sing for you. And this is one of my favorite hymns. Ever since I became a Christian, it has been my favorite hymn. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. You know, when we really know how to give thanks to God, then we really know how to pray to God. Then prayer will not become one-sided, one-way prayer, one-way communication. So I hope, you know, we all learn to give thanks. As the Apostle Paul says, be steadfast in our prayer, be watchful in our prayer, and be thankful in our prayer. You know, it's only right that we give thanks to God. And so that's why somebody says, thanksgiving is the crown of all prayers. And the Apostle Paul says somewhere else too, pray always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that means what? That means giving thanks to God. It's not an option. This is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. You know, when somebody does something for us, we say, thank you. How about our Father in heaven? When He has done so many things for us, watching over us in good times and not so good times, carrying us through most difficult moments in our lives. Do we remember to give thanks? I hope that, you know, the Holy Spirit in us will help us and train us to be a thankful person. You know, giving thanks to God is not natural in us. We have to learn to give thanks. Right? You remember when you were kids, you know, your parents always said, oh, thank you, uncle, thank you, auntie, right? Yeah, you have to learn. And there's a legend that says Abraham Lincoln, the late president of the United States, every day before he got up, you know, he always says a simple prayer. And you know what he said? He said, thank you, God, for giving me a brand new day. Now, if you can't think of anything else to give thanks to God for, you can think of at least, you should thank God at least for this wonderful gift of salvation in Christ Jesus. Right? Every single day. Because of this salvation in Christ Jesus, you and I are, you know, forgiven. You and I are given this new hope and this eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, because of time, I have to cut short my sermon. Now, I just want to go very quickly to the second part of Paul's writing. He says, you know, we should pray not only for ourselves. We should pray for others too. And so that's why he asked the Colossians to pray for him, to pray that God will open the door for him so that he could really proclaim the gospel. Now, Paul may be remembering, you know, what God has done for him when God gives him the Macedonian vision, right? Yeah, God opened the door to Europe so that he could preach the gospel to Philippi and to other European cities. And the Apostle Paul knows very well. Yeah, he has that desire to proclaim the gospel. If God does not open the door for him to do so, yeah, he will never have that opportunity. And so, people says, prayer is half of the success of missions. Yes, you know, we have that desire to preach the gospel, but we should also ask God to pray so that God will open doors for us to preach the gospel. Now, we thank God for our church. Our church has a very good mission board. The mission board has, you know, helped us and reminded us and even trained us to pray for our missions, pray for our missionaries here locally and abroad. And we want to thank the mission board members for helping us. Now, in our bulletin today, there is this insert. That insert tells us, you know, how to pray for our missionaries 24/7, 7 days a week. And if you say you don't know how to pray for missionaries, maybe this insert will help you from Sunday to Saturday to pray for the missionaries, all right, wherever they may be. And also, I just want to encourage you, whenever you have that opportunity, pray to God that you really know how to present the gospel clearly so that people can understand and they will have a chance to really think about what Christ has done for them. Now, having that opportunity to share the gospel doesn't mean that we know how, right? And I believe the Awana ministry, right, started this training a few weeks back to help our Awana leaders to really learn how to present the gospel, to really understand how to share the good news with the group members. And I think this is a wonderful, wonderful way of training. And I hope, you know, if you are Awana leaders and if you are taking that Mark Quest Sunday school class with Justin and Holman, you can really, you know, learn something about how to present Jesus Christ, his life, the work he has done in a concise way, in a clear way, so that people can hear the good news as well. Now, talking about praying for missionaries. I thought about the missionaries that our church supports. Now, I think about Pastor Caleb in northern Ghana, Africa. Now, he is a servant of God, greatly used by God. He has started, you know, three churches and at least 7 or 10 what he calls the meeting points where he could really preach the gospel. Now, the reason why I thought about him was in northern Ghana today, Robert can vouch for that too. The Muslim influence, the Islamic influence is growing. It's getting stronger and larger. And as you heard the news on TV, on radio, on the internet, you know that Muslim influence could have a very negative impact on people, right? And so I just encourage you to pray for our missionary in northern Ghana, so that God will help him to continue to preach the gospel. The gospel, the door of the gospel will remain open, and there will be even more new doors open, so that Pastor Caleb and his church will reach the locals with the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ was on earth, he put a lot of emphasis on prayer. He paid very close attention to prayer. He lived a life of prayer. And even at this moment, as we speak, worshiping him, he is praying for you and for me in heaven. And this really speaks volumes for the importance of prayer. Now, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and we are members of his body. You know, the best way for the head and the body to communicate is through prayer. It's very natural, right? Your head always communicates with the rest of your body, doesn't it? And so, in a similar way, that's how we communicate with the head of our spiritual body, and that is Jesus Christ. And somebody once said, you know, prayer is the central nervous system of the church, of every single Christian's life. Through prayer, we share our joys and sorrows, our success and failure with Jesus Christ. And through prayer, Jesus Christ talks to us, telling us how he wants and what he wants us to do for him in life. And so prayer should be our priority individually and corporately. And I encourage you to really spend time in prayer, not only at home, but you know, every Tuesday night when I see not so many people in our prayer meeting on the English side, I'm kind of saddened by that. You may say, oh, well, I pray in my small group. Sure, it's very good. I pray with other people. Yes, it's very good. But I still encourage you to come back to church and pray together. Because, you know, if our prayer life is weak corporately, don't blame God when our church runs into trouble. When your life is plagued with difficulties, don't blame God for not helping you, because you have neglected prayer in your life. And so as I close, I want to encourage you with Samuel's word in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. He says to the Israelites, "As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you." You know, Eva and I pray for you guys. We pray for the church every day. We do that in the morning. And I hope you do the same for us, even though I may be leaving you. I hope that you still pray for me and pray for Eva as we continue to follow God, to seek God's guidance in our next ministry. Without prayer, no wonder our spiritual life is weak. Without prayer, no wonder our church is weak. And so as I close, I just want to ask you to reflect on this. Is my prayer life healthy and vibrant? How often do I pray? And even when I pray, What is the usual content of my prayer? Do I just ask God, give me this, give me, give me, give me, give me? How often do we say, thank you, God? And how often do we confess our sins to God? What is the usual content of my prayer? And lastly, but not least, do I pray regularly with my family members who are Christians? Now, many of you have Christian parents, Christian brothers and sisters at home. Do you pray with them? Or do you feel embarrassed? And, you know, with the laundry fellowship, the couples, you know, Eva and I encourage you guys, right? If you have come under my premarital counseling, I've told you guys, I encourage you guys to pray together as husband and wife. Do you do that? If you don't do that, you are missing out on a lot of God's blessings. If parents and children, if husband and wife can pray together, I just wonder what kind of spiritual life you have. I just wonder what kind of Christian life you lead. We don't just pray for brothers and sisters in our church. We pray with everybody, especially with members who are Christians in our family. And so as I end, I just want you to remember this. And this is not from me, from the Apostle Paul. He encourages us to pray continually in a steadfast manner, to pray in a wakeful manner, a watchful manner, and to pray with a thanksgiving attitude, giving thanks to God all the time. So let us pray. Amen. Let us pray now. And before I lead you in prayer, if there's something you heard from God this morning, just one little thing about prayer, something that you have neglected, something you have not really paid attention to, maybe this is the time you tell God, sorry, God, I have neglected prayer. I have neglected this aspect of prayer. May you forgive me and help me start again so that I can do better. I take this moment to pray to God. Our Father in heaven, have mercy on us. You desire our fellowship. And may we do the same. May we desire you as deer pants for water. We pant for you. O God, may your spirit in us prompt us, remind us not to overlook the importance of prayer. Help us pray not just in time of crisis when we have exams or when we look for a job or when we are getting married or when we are dating a girl or boy. Help us pray in a steadfast manner. And help us pray as you do, watchfully. And when you have helped us in so many different ways, let us not forget to give thanks to you. Oh Lord, when we stumble, when we falter, when we sin, in speech, in thought, and in our action, let us not forget to come before you to ask for forgiveness too. Have mercy, O Lord. May you grant us and help us nurture a healthy, vibrant prayer life. In Jesus' name, Amen.